Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'll turn the call over to Kathy Harbin. You may begin.
Thank you, Shirley, and thank you all for joining us today to hear about the launch of the Sierra Leone trial to introduce a vaccine against Ebola. This is called the STRIVE trial. You'll first hear remarks from Dr. Anne Schuchat. She's Director of CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. We'll then open up the lines for questions and answers. I'll turn the call over now to Dr. Schuchat.
Good afternoon. Actually, good morning. Sorry. I'm delighted to be able to have this call today with you and to announce the beginning of STRIVE, the Sierra Leone trial to introduce a vaccine against Ebola. The CDC, in partnership with the Sierra Leone College of Medicine and Allied Health Sciences, or COMAS, and the Sierra Leone Ministry of Health and Sanitation, has started enrolling and vaccinating volunteers for the Sierra Leone trial to introduce a vaccine against Ebola. As you know, the epidemic of Ebola has been devastating. Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia have lost thousands of people, including hundreds of healthcare workers. Vaccines against Ebola are a potential tool to protect people, especially those at highest risk of encountering the virus because of the work they do. Our study is part of a concerted effort to accelerate the development of vaccines against Ebola, aimed at helping to end this devastating outbreak and protect people against future ones. Together with colleagues in Sierra Leone, we've worked hard to design and prepare a study that aims to measure efficacy and safety of an Ebola vaccine. I'm hopeful that what we learn from this clinical trial will help us get closer to finding a safe and effective tool that we can use to keep people safe from Ebola. STRIVE is going to look at two things: if and how well one of the Ebola vaccines in development, called the RVSV-ZEBOV vaccine, helps protect people from getting Ebola, and if that vaccine is as safe as early small studies have suggested. Similar studies are also occurring in other countries affected by Ebola, including Liberia and Guinea. In Sierra Leone, we plan to enroll about 6,000 health and frontline workers who are at high risk of Ebola disease. This includes health facility workers like doctors, nurses, and cleaning, lab, pharmacy, security, and administrative staff. Also burial workers, ambulance and surveillance teams, and workers responsible for swabbing people who have died. These worker groups are eligible to participate in STRIVE. When participants enroll in the study, they will be assigned randomly to one of two time frames for vaccination, either immediately or about 6 months later. All study participants will receive the vaccine and be followed closely for 6 months. The study is being conducted in 5 districts of Sierra Leone, including in the capital, Freetown. Enrollment and vaccination has already begun in the western districts, rural and urban, and the study will roll out in the other 3 districts over the next weeks. CDC has a team of people in Sierra Leone that have been working with COMAS, the ministry, and the districts for several months to help prepare for STRIVE. About 350 local people have been hired and trained to conduct the study. We're working in partnership with BARDA, the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, and received early key support from the CDC Foundation and their donors to jumpstart site facility improvements. To prepare, we've met with the paramount chiefs, tribal and religious leaders, ward counselors, and elders in the study areas. We'll continue to keep them informed about study progress. We've also been working with health facility leaders in study areas to plan for enrollment and vaccination, including at public health facilities, hospitals, clinics, and Ebola treatment and holding units. Through STRIVE, CDC is strengthening the existing research capacity of institutions in Sierra Leone by providing training and research experience to hundreds of Sierra Leone staff, which we hope will be helpful to the country in the future. Physical infrastructure has been updated, including renovating existing structures and building new ones to be able to enroll and vaccinate participants, to handle data management, and properly store the vaccine. New technology will also be available to maintain the cold chain, which keeps vaccines at required temperatures, including during its transport. Sierra Leone and the international community, including CDC, are working hard to get to zero in the battle against Ebola. We hope that our study partnership, as well as trials ongoing in neighboring countries, will help accelerate the availability of safe and effective vaccines against this terrible virus, and also leave this region stronger and more resilient against future infectious disease threats. I'm happy to turn things back over to the operator and take your questions now. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be asked to record your name. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment, please, for our first question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Liz Zabo with USA Today. You may ask your question.
Hi. I'm hoping you can talk about how you'll deal with the shortage of patients with so few people now being diagnosed with Ebola, just 9 in Sierra Leone last week. Do you expect to get a definitive answer, and what is your plan if you don't?
Thank you for that question. Of course, we're glad that the epidemic is improving in Sierra Leone and surrounding countries, and that the case counts have come down quite a bit since the time that we first began planning the trial. We have adjusted our studies design to maximize the chance for success, and we plan to collect information on safety and immune response that can contribute to licensure pathways even if we're not able to estimate efficacy. We also have a data and safety monitoring board that's going to be looking at the information as it comes in, conducting interim analyses, and seeing how the early findings go. We know that we cannot be complacent about Ebola. We're pleased that there are fewer cases, but healthcare workers have developed Ebola in Sierra Leone fairly recently, and they continue to be at risk. So we're going forward with the study, but we've adjusted its design to maximize the chances of success, and we'll be able to define success in multiple ways. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mike Sobey with Associated Press. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Doctor, you mentioned the cold chain and some of the other challenges in doing this work. Do you mind saying what is the anticipated cost of doing this trial, and who's paying for it? And also, are the participants going to be offered money or anything else to take part in this, or how are you encouraging participation?
The study is being funded primarily through the U.S. government, through CDC's emergency appropriation. There are also contributions that are sizable from BARDA, as I mentioned, another part of HHS. The CDC Foundation donations have been critical because they were available early to help jumpstart the renovations and some of the equipment that was needed to get the cold chain to be able to handle vaccine management. So this is a key partnership. You asked about compensation and whether participants would be paid to be participating. The study, I need to say, has been reviewed by ethics review boards, the institutional review boards at the CDC and also in Sierra Leone, as well as with the Food and Drug Administration Regulatory Authority and the Sierra Leone Pharmacy Board. Participants in the trial will receive some money that pays essentially for their transportation and the time involved with being part of the study, and the amounts of those compensation were agreed to based on the ethics review boards. So I think that that was basically the questions that you had. It is expensive to carry out a clinical trial of this magnitude, and it's challenging to do so a country which has little previous experience with doing such trials. We have not cut corners on the safety or the high scientific standards, and are really keen to do this trial in a very safe and careful manner.
Could you say the dollar amounts, though? What's the dollar amount of the investment in the study, and what is the compensation dollar amount, U.S. equivalent?
You know, Mike, I can get back to you with more information on that. I think I don't actually have the specific dollars of compensation with me. The Congress appropriation for this trial was about $25 million.
Thank you.
Actually, hold on. I do have this. This is just in. Okay. Participants will receive about $10 after enrolling in the study, and after getting vaccinated, they'll be getting about $30. So that's in local money. So those are the dollar amounts that were essentially part of the protocol. Next question, operator.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Donna Young with Scripps News. You may ask your question.
Oh, actually, that was the same thing that I was going to ask, was about the total funding. So, again, you said that there was $25 million appropriated for this study, and do you expect to have to go back and ask for more, or what happens to the funding that's not used if you have anything left over? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for the question. What I can say is that we are working diligently with the implementation of the trial, and have multiple needs that are being met. We are incredibly appreciative for the support for this. The commitment for doing the study is that individuals will be followed for 6 months after vaccination, and that a key part of this is about offering the vaccine in a very safe and careful manner to the frontline health workers of Sierra Leone. So even if there are few cases or it's not possible to measure the efficacy, we are committed to continue to follow the individuals who've received the vaccine for 6 months after their receipt. So this will be ongoing for a good time to come, you know, in terms of the immediate vaccination, and then 6 months from now, vaccination needing to be followed for 6 months. So we'll be evaluating how far the resources that we've gotten stretch over time. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Helen Branswell with Canadian Press. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my questions. I have a couple. Dr. Schuchat, what you just described, sort of the generation of both benefits for Sierra Leone and important data, safety data on this vaccine, sound great, but they also sound more like a phase two than a phase three trial. Can you talk about whether or not any consideration was given to either not proceeding or turning this into a phase two at any point? Does it still meet the futility test? I take it you have to a data safety monitoring board or an IRB has to sort of assess whether there's a likelihood of getting an actual efficacy answer. And at this point, I'm just wondering if that's likely to happen. And also, if you could explain a bit about how you adjusted the trial to increase the chances of getting an answer, please.
Sure. This trial was designed as a phased introduction study that would have careful evaluation to maximize the opportunity to measure efficacy and safety. And part of the discussions in country about carrying out such a trial were that the frontline health workers would have a chance to receive the vaccine under the study circumstances over the course of the trial. Obviously, health workers and other frontline workers have been through a lot in Sierra Leone, and it's a pretty frightening thing to be providing that kind of frontline health care in the context of such a dangerous virus. And so we did not really consider the idea of not carrying out the trial when case counts decreased. However, we did decide that it was very important to adjust our design to maximize the chance that we would be able to answer key questions. And so instead of conducting a classical stepped wedge design, which was what our initial intent was, we changed to an individually randomized trial where individuals would get either vaccination now or vaccination 6 months from now. And that provided more flexibility with the numbers of people that could be enrolled and the pace with which we would be able to vaccinate people, as well as the valuable time, you know, the person time that you could analyze. So we essentially adjusted to have this randomized individual trial for yet a phased introduction, you know, where everyone would eventually be offered the vaccine. I think in comparison with a phase two trial, this would be intended to be a bit larger in terms of the 6,000 workers that we're anticipating. In terms of the futility, we didn't include futility as part of the interim analyses. We do, of course, have important regular looks for safety, and the trial could be stopped early if there were safety problems of great concern. The other reason the trial might be stopped early would be if interim analyses identify efficacy earlier than expected. And so even with relatively low rates of disease, our trial was actually designed around an efficacy of 50%. If the vaccine is much more efficacious than that, which we have reason to believe it might be, then smaller numbers are needed to be able to confirm efficacy. A last point is that if we are able to vaccinate about 6,000 people and disease is rare or has gotten to zero, it's possible that those people might be exposed in the future. The virus could be reintroduced into the human population, or outbreaks could reemerge. And then it would be possible to do essentially post-marketing case control study type of vaccine efficacy study. A disease like Ebola was never expected to have a large-scale phase three study done of vaccine efficacy, and regulatory authorities before this epidemic were considering what they call the two animal rule, where studies in animals together with immunology and safety data are contributory towards a licensure pathway. So if the efficacy estimate isn't possible in this trial or in the other trials that are ongoing, it is still possible for there to be a licensure pathway for this and the other candidate vaccines. I think I covered most of your questions. Operator?
Thank you. And again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Kai Kuberschmidt with Science Magazine. You may ask your question.
Thanks for taking my question. I have two, if I may. Dr. Schuchert, I don't quite understand what you just answered to Helen about how exactly conducting this trial as an individually randomized trial as opposed to a classical stepped wedge trial, how exactly does that help you, you know, improve your chances of getting an answer on efficacy? How does it make things easier or faster? I didn't quite understand that. And then the other point, do you have any numbers on the power of the trial? How many people would you expect in the delayed vaccine group to have to develop Ebola in order to see to actually see a signal of efficacy if it is indeed 50%, for instance?
Right. The difference between a stepped wedge and an individually randomized trial with vaccination at zero or at 6 month time is that there's a larger person time evaluable in the individually randomized design. Essentially, you have 6 months at least of evaluation between those vaccinated now and later. And in a stepped wedge, the way we were thinking of it, it would have had a much lower number of person months at risk. The issue of number of subjects needed. Actually, the trial is designed around events, and for a 50% efficacious vaccine, we estimated needing about 67 events to be studied. But if the vaccine were 90% effective, one needs about 17 events. Obviously, there are a lot of assumptions that go into that, and much is changing. Another thing to mention, though, in terms of where we are with the epidemic, as I say, we're thrilled that the disease counts are way down, but people are continuing to get Ebola virus disease, and we know that some of the Ebola outbreaks in the past have had long tails associated with them. They haven't just been snuffed out, but they've taken quite a while to really end. And we know that health workers are going to be under continued risk during that period. Next question, operator.
Again, just press star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Lisa Snaring with SIDRAP News. You may ask your question.
Hi, Dr. Shukat. Thanks for taking questions today. I'm wondering if the frontline healthcare workers who are slated to get the vaccine are mainly Sierra Leone people, or if there are any foreign medical teams or non-governmental organizations who are in the area who may be getting that. Thanks so much.
Yes, you know, the eligibility criteria for the trial are that both Sierra Leone frontline workers and international workers would be eligible if they're planning to be doing the kind of work that they're doing and staying in Sierra Leone for the next 6 months. So we have already encountered individuals who were not planning to be remaining in country during that period, and so that is an exclusion criteria. So we think that the evaluation of the subjects or the participants in Sierra Leone is important, and so those international or other workers in the country are certainly eligible for the trial if they're in one of those districts and they're carrying out the kind of work that I described if they're intending to stay there. Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Helen Branswell with Canadian Press. You may ask your question.
Hi. I apologize. You may have addressed this in your opening remarks, some of which I missed, but are you you're doing some sort of sub-studies, aren't you, on reactogenicity and immunogenicity? You're drawing bloods pre and post, are you? Could you talk more about that?
We've already initiated a sub-study of safety and reactogenicity as part of the full-scale trial, and that is looking more closely in active follow-up of people of the first 400 subjects that are being enrolled. We intend to do an immunogenicity study as well, and that is not yet up and running, but the sub-study on safety is.
Okay, and how big will the immunogenicity study, please?
We're still working out the agreements about that with the authority, the approval groups, so it'll be at least several hundred.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Kai Kupershmidt with Science Magazine. You may ask your question.
Thanks. I just wanted to clarify two numbers. So when you talk about events, the 67 events, for instance, in a 50% efficacious vaccine, that would be people who develop Ebola or what else would constitute an event. And then the $25 million that we talked about earlier, is that the overall price tag for the whole trial, or is that higher?
Events are laboratory-confirmed Ebola virus disease, and the dollars are not necessarily the price of the trial. The $25 million is what the emergency appropriation provided for the study. So the price tag, when everything is pulled together, may be more than that, or less than that, but that's what the appropriation was. As I mentioned, we have already really benefited from the partnership from BARDA and from the CDC Foundation, which had resources early and was able to help focus the renovations that were so critical to be able to get sites ready to go and the cold chain upgraded.
Right, but the $25 million, is it a rough estimate of the overall price tag, or can you give a better one?
I don't have a better one, so that's why I gave you that one. Sorry.
Thank you.
No, you know, large-scale trials can be quite expensive to carry out, and are often more expensive than that. But that we are extremely grateful for those resources and are managing them carefully. Next question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Otto with Internal Medicine News. You may ask your question.
Hi. I have questions about vaccine safety. Have you seen any safety issues with this vaccine in the people who have gotten it so far? And number two, how many people have gotten this vaccine so far? Thank you.
So the vaccine has been studied in phase one and now two studies. About 800 people have gotten the vaccine in other trials so far. And to date, there have been, of course, local short-term local reactions, pain, and so forth, but the common side effects do include fatigue, fever, headache, or muscle ache. Those can be relatively common. There also has been reports of some mild pain and swelling of joints that is self-limited and improves. So we are looking for those, of course, in this trial and are at too early a stage to know what we're seeing in this particular trial. In terms of the numbers, I can tell you that so far more than 200 people have been enrolled and more than 90 people have been vaccinated. Next question?
At this time, I'm showing no further questions.
Thank you. Let me just say before we end then that the Ebola epidemic has been devastating for West Africa, and I really hope that this is the beginning of a new positive chapter for Sierra Leone and for the story of battling this virus. Thank you so much for calling in and for covering this important update.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.